Nehemiah chapter 2. Sunday night we were looking through an important text there in the first chapter, and it kind of went on into Nehemiah chapter 2 just a little bit too, and talking about how that God positions us and places us where He wants us to be at different particular times in our life. And He does that because He's preparing us for something many times that we don't know how it's all going to come out. But we have to trust the Lord. Tonight I want to just look at from Nehemiah chapter 2, and here's the topic. It's kind of a big long one. Help often comes from unexpected sources. Amen. Help often comes from unexpected sources. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 1. Came to pass, this is verse 1, chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of the father of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which pertaineth to the house, and for the walls of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. We'll stop right there. I do believe that a lot of times whenever we are in need of help from God, here's the way we handle it. We come up with a plan, and then we pray and ask God, would you sanction my plan? This is the way I want you to work out all this out. And Lord, would you do it this way and this and do that? And God, would you just bless my plan for getting me out of this trouble? But that's not the way God works. As a matter of fact, most of the time when you find yourself in trouble, God is working in such ways as He wants to show His might, His power. He wants to get the glory for it. And so when you are in need of help, then we are to look to the Lord, not only to be the answer, but to show us exactly the plan and the way that He wants to work all these details out, so that we'll stand back in awe of it all and say, isn't it amazing? I never would have dreamed that it could have ever worked out this way. This is just amazing. And because God didn't just answer it, but He was working in every step of the way, and even in the middle of your problem and your need, He was working to show that He was right there, involved, in the circumstance of your life. Whenever I think of people praying and asking God for help, my mind immediately goes to the psalmist David, because he was always in trouble. He was often in trouble, and he was often asking for help. 40 times I found there in the Psalms, at least 40 times, that David cried out to God, "Help me, Lord. Send help. Give me help in my situation." Let me give you just a few of these verses. Psalm 12 and 1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Psalm 20, verse 2, "Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion." Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 121 and verse 1 and verse 2, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." You see what I'm getting at? David was in trouble a lot, and David was asking for help a lot. Amen. And no matter what we devise and what our plans are, the way that we want God to work everything out, most of the time, God won't do it the way that you think He will. But He will work, and when He does, it'll be wonderful. It'll be amazing as you stand back and see the hand of God working down through the process of your need and your trouble. In the New Testament, a great scripture tells us that in Hebrews 4 and 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You don't know the Lord very long at all. If you've served the Lord any length of time, you recognize that just because you're a Christian does not mean that you will not have times of trouble and problems along the way. Amen? We all have these experiences and these times, but help often comes from unexpected sources. And you can see this in the life of Nehemiah. We talked somewhat about this Sunday night in the service. Nehemiah was a young man born in captivity. He had never seen Judah. He had never seen Jerusalem, the city of God. None of those things that he longed for were all just a part of what he had been told about. He'd received the information secondhand or third hand from his fathers and his grandfathers, and he'd never actually seen it. But yet somehow they had instilled a love for it in his heart. And God had arranged, just so amazingly, God had arranged for him to be put in a position which was a very coveted position. The king's cupbearer, the one that would taste the wine before the king to protect the king, which meant that he had to be one of the most trusted men in all of Babylon. And so somehow, just like Daniel had been honored and elevated in a foreign country, and Joseph had been elevated and honored in a foreign country, so was Nehemiah. That in a foreign pagan land, he had been elevated to this position, and God had put him there. God had placed him there, because it was all a part of the way that God was going to help him whenever he came to this time in his life when he recognized, "I need help from God. I need God to help me." And all along the way, as a young man, God was positioning him and strategically placing him where he wanted him to be at the time that he wanted him to be there, because he was going to send help. And he was going to use some unexpected resources to help him. One of the things, whenever he heard the report that Jerusalem was destroyed, the walls had been burnt, torn down, the gates had been burnt with fire, and when he heard that his homeland and that they were being afflicted and attacked and vulnerable because the walls were torn down, when he heard that, the Bible says that he
fell to his face, he wept, he fasted, he prayed, and apparently for a long period of time, because there's the month of Chislu mentioned in verse 1 of chapter 1, and then in verse 1 of chapter 2 is the month Nisan, which there's 4 months in between the time that he heard about it and the time that finally he's in the place before the king with an opportunity to appeal to the king. 4 months has gone by. He's prayed. He's fasted. He's prepared himself. There's been this long delay. Do you understand that sometimes a delay is your best friend? Amen. Do you understand that in this world that we live in that wants everything right now, wants everything taken care of right now, we want everything instant, everything right now taken care of, that God many times, He slows everything down for us. And we have to get on His schedule and His plan. And it's kind of hard to do because we want to get everything done today and at the latest by tomorrow. But many times God arranged it so that we have to trust Him in His own good timing. And that was one of the unexpected friends of Nehemiah, was that God was teaching him about patience and about His own timing, God's timing. Amen. Do you understand that delays are not a denial? That just because God says not now doesn't mean that He's saying no or never. Sometimes God just slows things down and says, just trust me. Just wait on me. And I'll work this out in my own good time if you will just trust me. It was Hudson Taylor, great missionary, that became bedfast when he was 29 years old. For 5 years, he was hardly able to do anything but lay in the bed. For 5 years, he laid there, and many times he questioned God and prayed and asked the Lord, why is this going on? But later on, he looked back upon those 5 years of waiting and of even suffering and difficult time. And he saw those times as valuable times that God worked in his heart and strengthened his faith and his courage and prepared him. He called them his hidden years, because after those 5 years, he came out of that experience and the China Inland Mission was born, and the work of God in China flourished, and that mission exists even to this day. Under another name, but it's still in existence in China, even to this day. And those years that Hudson Taylor was saying, God, why am I too weak to get up? Why am I sick? Why am I going through this time? But sometimes God is sending help from unexpected sources. And in this case, for Nehemiah, it was a wait. Amen. It was time and patience and trusting God to work in the situation. And that's exactly what he was doing. He was trusting in God's plan. You know, to trust God's plan, you have to relinquish your plan. You have to lay down your ways. God, I want this and I want that, and I want you to work all this out. This is what I want. But God's plan is better than yours. It's higher than yours. And you need to learn to yield and to trust the Lord. It's an unexpected source of help. But sometimes waiting on God and learning how to trust God over a long period of time is really the help that you need. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Trust in the Lord. If you look at Jeremiah, I've used this verse of Scripture a lot because it's one of my favorite verses of Scripture, where it talks about in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. It's a great verse, isn't it? Amen. That God has a plan for you. But you have to look at that verse within the context to really understand how powerful that it really is. Because really, this was a message of Jeremiah to those that were held in captivity in Babylon during this time period of Nehemiah's life. It was a message to them. So you go back to verse 4 and take note of what he said. He said, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." Here's what he tells them. "Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished." Verse 7. "And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." What was he saying to them? He was saying, here you are, you're down there in captivity, and it's a miserable time what you're experiencing there. But while you're there, you make the very best of that situation.
Amen.
You make the very best of it. You build houses if you can. You grow your family if you can. You do the best you can. Yeah, you're in captivity. But trust that I have a plan. And then the next verse is the verse that I read to you. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you." What he was saying was that, I know you're down there in captivity, but you're always on my mind. I've always got plans for you. I've got a plan for you. It's not an evil plan. It's a plan for peace. It's for an expected end. This is all going to work out if you'll trust me and put your life and it all in your hands. Make the best of the circumstance that you are in.
Amen. Amen. It's worthwhile. A lot of people, they're looking to someday when I'm going to accomplish this or I'm going to do that in my life. And they're always looking for that day that always seems to evade them, because what they need to learn is that God has put you where you are right now. And in that place, you make the most of it. Whatever place or position or role or calling, wherever you are now, you give it your all. You do it as unto the Lord. You work for God, and in that place that may be difficult, it may be challenging, but you make the most of that circumstance, and God knows what he's doing. Amen. I remember all those years ago when I became a bus driver for mentally retarded adults right here in this county. And I had in my mind, I want to be a pastor, and I want to work for God, and I want to do these things. And you know what worked out? It worked out for me to be a bus driver. And I can remember thinking, Lord, what is going on? Why am I in this place? I'm spending my whole day with handicapped people. And I went through times of not really understanding it. But, you know, now when I look back on that experience, there were some wonderful things I learned. There were some important lessons that I learned during that time. And I don't have time to go into all those lessons. But one of the things that the Lord did during that time in me, and I didn't realize it until years later, is that I drove over the back roads of Laurel County. I mean, the north, the south, the east, the west. I drove all over this county, back roads and side roads. And I remember years later, when I would think about it, even before we came here to pastor, that the Lord put a love in my heart for Laurel County all those years ago as I drove up and down the roads of this community. And the Lord knows what he is doing. God knows what he's doing. He knows where to place us, where to position us. He knows how to train us, how to work in us. Trust in God's plan. Help will come from unexpected sources. Amen. It really will. Another verse of scripture in this text. He makes his appeal to the king concerning his homeland. I don't know if you paid much attention to this, but in verse 6 it says, "And the king said unto me," this is as the king is answering him. Then in parenthesis it says, "the queen also sitting by him." Most commentators believe that that was either Esther
or probably Esther's daughter-in-law, one of the two. In either case, it doesn't matter, because it's no doubt a queen that has been positioned there. Remember, Esther came into the place she was in for such a time as this. And so now this queen, whether it's her or her daughter-in-law that's sitting on the throne beside the king, she no doubt also has a heart for the Jewish nation and for Judah. And so the queen is there in a role of influence, and God has arranged that too. God has arranged all of that so that there can be an opportunity for there to be this influence, because one day Nehemiah was going to stand there and he was going to make an appeal before Artaxerxes, and it was going to be a life or death situation. Either he was going to agree to help him, or he was probably going to have his head cut off, because he came before the king with a sad countenance and never done that before. No one was to ever do that, but God had prearranged it. Divinely arranged circumstances. Sometimes help comes from divinely arranged circumstances. That we would, Brother Tyler was talking about coincidences or things just working out. No, that's not the way it is for the child of God. You're in a plan. You're in this divine, wonderful plan of God. And he's working in your life for your good and for his glory. In that circumstance that you are in. So help often comes in unexpected sources through divinely arranged things that God has already set in order before you could ever even think up a plan. God had a better plan. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, notice that there was all these, that the king responded positively and said, okay, you can take care of this problem. You can go. How long are you going to be gone? When will you be back? And then he says to him now, Nehemiah, he's getting his courage up now. Because then he begins to say, oh yeah, well, I'm really going to need some letters from you as well to give me authority to pass through the land. And if you don't mind, while you're writing that letter, sign another letter to give me authority to get all the wood that I need out of the forest. And everything he asked for, the king is giving to him. And even goes beyond that. He has letters of authority. He has the signature of the king, permission to the governor and to the keeper of the forest, and a military escort. Can you imagine? That's why that the enemies of God, when they saw him, the Bible says they were grieved. Sanballat and Tobiah were grieved because they hated God's people and they hated Jerusalem and they wanted to see it and completely annihilated. And so when they saw that there was somebody, when there were there, that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel, and behind him is this entourage. A military escort? He's got the whole power of the king of Persia, his authority and power behind him. Isn't it wonderful what God can do? How God can work to give favor? Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Because before that a king or a leader has authority, the only way that he can have authority, if authority is given to him, and that authority comes from God, the heart of the king is in God's hand. And so when God wants to turn the heart of the king toward you or toward anyone, he can do that. And that's what he did in the case of Joseph. He did it in the case of Daniel. And here in the case of Nehemiah, the heart of the king was turned toward these men of God. Isn't it an amazing thing? And the enemy often thinks he's in control of things. Here we are in a world right now that seems like everything is chaotic and out of control. Don't ever think that's true. It's not true. God's in control. Amen. God's in control of what's going on in our world right now. Remember Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, that there had been a decree sent out by Caesar Augustus that the whole world would be taxed. And so everybody is running, scrambling from every part of Palestine to go to their hometown, because Caesar Augustus said, you have to go to your hometown to have a census and a taxing. And Caesar was saying, I'm the guy. I'm the authority. And Joseph and Mary make their journey to Bethlehem, the hometown. And Caesar Augustus could have been saying, and no doubt was saying, I'm the guy that really got all this going. I'm the reason why that everybody is where they are right now. But in fact, it had already been prophesied hundreds of years before that Joseph and Mary were going to wind up down there, and the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. And all that Caesar was doing was just playing into the plan of God. That's the way it is when with authorities and leaders. The heart of the king is in the hand of God. And God can move in such a way. He'll shake a kingdom if he needs to prove his power and might in your behalf. Praise God. Amen. Help comes from unexpected sources. But it came. It came to Nehemiah. It came to Jerusalem and to Judah. Even in the form of the opposition. And I'll stop with this right here because I know I'm going to run out of time. With Sanballat and Tobiah, they were grieved exceeding when there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And they were ready to oppose him. And that's what they did, as you read on in this text. They opposed them in every way that they could. Ridiculing them, making fun of them, throwing all kinds of things in their pathway to keep them from succeeding in the rebuilding of the walls. Even in opposition, even when there's opposition, that the enemy would think that he was able to slow the plan of God down or to stop the plan of God, but when he opposes the things of the Lord, it doesn't work that way. It's never worked that way in the church. Amen. Always in the church, when the church is persecuted, it flourishes, it grows. Amen. Opposition, pressures against us, they don't destroy the church. It doesn't destroy Christians. Persecution and opposition, it doesn't stop us or destroy us, but it does a work in us. It accomplishes some things in us. Again, going back to the psalmist, Psalm 119. He said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. I learn things during this time of trouble and affliction that I would not have learned otherwise. And then in verse 67 of Psalm 119, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Help comes even in the form of affliction and opposition sometimes, ridicule and difficulty. But God, when you allow the grace of God to work in your life, God works through that opposition. You get stronger. The word of God becomes more powerful and real to you. It somehow checks you and you get back on track, back to God. It causes you to turn back to the Lord with your whole heart. Amen. Help comes from unexpected sources. It's not going to work out the way you think it will, but it will work out because you belong to God. You're a child of God, and God can work in amazing and wonderful ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Why don't you stand with me? Praise the Lord. I don't know. I know we all have needs. We all have things that we're concerned about. But I think one of the most challenging things as a Christian is to be going through trying and difficult times and wondering, Lord, where are you in all this? I don't see you coming to help me or rescue me in all of this. But somehow we need to allow the Lord to open our eyes and help us to see that Maybe sometimes it's in affliction and difficulties that He's working in you. Maybe it's in a delay that He's showing you, no, not your timing, my timing. God has a lot of different ways to prove Himself to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I want you to be encouraged tonight to know that help comes from the Lord. He's the source. He's the source. Trust Him. Trust Him to work. Even in a situation where you can't imagine that God could ever be at work in it. Oh, He's at work. He's moving. And He'll help you if you'll trust Him. Amen. If you think of the worst thing that is you've ever faced in your life, the worst things, do you understand that through the grace of God, God can take the absolute worst trial and trouble, turn it around, and somehow cause that situation to become something that we look to as a great victory. That God brought you through and God has helped you. Amen. So whatever your need is tonight, help comes from the Lord, but not always the way that you expect it to come. Amen. Amen. Let's take a moment, call upon the Lord. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, that You care about us. You're mindful of us. You know, Lord, exactly the sorrows and the challenges and the problems that we're facing. But Lord, we trust You. Lord, we stand firmly upon Your word and upon Your promise. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know that You care. I know that You're able, Lord, God, to work in ways that I could never, ever even imagine or dream of. And I thank You for that, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that we are in Your thinking. We are in Your mind, that You do have a plan, Lord, for us, Lord, of peace and expected end. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You haven't given up on us or forsaken us, but Lord, You're at work right now in the middle of our needs, and we thank You for that. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord.